It's the 12th Countryside Live. It's astounding to actually believe that. We've been saying that frequently with our interviewees this morning. But as ever, you know, I look at Nigel from, of course, the Chief Executive Officer role at the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, and I think, Nigel, you must be getting younger. Nigel Pulling, good to see you as ever.
Thank you. Yes, we were just discussing how the origins of the show, and it came out of Foot and Mouth in 2003. So, yes, it's the 12th. So, yes, it's quite established now.
Very much so. And again, just getting a flavour from Richard with his New Zealand sheep show, etc. Obviously from Norfolk, from the bikers who are there, from, of course, Ben Potter and the Birds of Prey. Lots of really great entertaining and educational events taking place.
Well, that was always the aim. When the event started, we had to make a decision. Did we do a farmer event, or did we do one that would appeal to both farmers and country folk, but the general public as well? And we went down the general public. And so you teach them about farming in the countryside by entertaining them, and that was always the aim.
Yeah, and I think it's hugely successful, and it's proven to be that. A little bit of a sad sort of part of this year's show. In fact, as I say, we're still waiting for the white smoke to be emerging from the Haru tin, because, of course, it's Bill Cowling's last as show director.
Indeed, yes. Bill will have done 10 Great Yorkshire Shows in 2015, and that's his last. I mean, the original appointment was actually for 5 years. So he's doubled his money, as you say. We haven't started the recruiting process yet, but that'll be coming. And obviously, it'll be a new era, but we'll miss Bill a lot.
Well, I mean, let's hope we don't go down the line of Manchester United, appoint a Scotsman, and then actually sort of replace him with somebody else from Holland in the future. It's that sort of league we're in, really.
I wouldn't like to say it.
Of course not.
I would think there's a good chance that
Alan Pardew would not be a good choice. No. I'm just saying that from a point of view of me.
That's my team. No, we will see. Obviously, we want somebody who loves farming in the countryside, in the shows, and you know, carries on the good work that Bill's done for so long.
And of course, the great thing is that you've got such a wonderful team led by yourself, with Judy and Caroline and Sally and the rest of the sort of thing. That I wouldn't say it runs itself, because that would be ridiculous, and there's a lot of effort that goes into place. But the systems are in place. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the sort of key members of the team have been here several years, have developed with this show and the Great Yorkshire. And so, yes, I mean, it's a huge amount of effort, but we've got a very experienced team and a track record of delivering good shows. So obviously we'll hope that continues.
One of the things we haven't really covered over the years, and it's been quite a hit as the things develop, has been the search for a star in the show jumping area. I mean, that seems to be really taking off in this particular show.
Yes, and we've just seen last year's winner, who went on to represent her country in junior show jumping, and so she found it a great boost to her career. It's very popular, obviously. On a national stage, then the British show jumpers do very well, and I think it's very popular among people, and so they want to know how to get to the top.
Well, certainly, I think Sarah Hesseltine and Hattie, who set up the Gatepost, which is for people who have an interest in equine lifestyle, etc., I did flag up that they really should make some presence at the Countryside Live. They couldn't make it this year, but I think certainly they should see that this is really the next generation. I mean, we talk about pony clubs and various other factors, but this is from a competitive side of things, where the Olympians are tomorrow will be developing from.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, it is a sort of once-off opportunity to work with Graham Fletcher and Tina, and you know, I think it's the boost to your confidence as much as anything. And obviously, you're jumping in front of a crowd, you're indoors, it's lights. It is a sort of a taste of things to come, if you like. And so I think it's great from that point of view.
It's a masterclass without Simon Cowell in there muttering some sort of inanities.
No, it's a masterclass, but very encouraging, and trying to help everyone. So everyone who enters will get tips all the time. And so obviously there's only one winner, but everyone benefits by being involved.
The Yorkshire Agricultural Society continues to grow from strength to strength. Next year, of course, as we've just found out, is the Chinese Year of the Sheep, which is always quite interesting. But would there be, looking in terms of looking at Countryside Live and, of course, the Great Yorkshire Show next year, presumably interesting plans will develop as ever?
Yes, I mean, we're already talking about the Great Yorkshire for 2015. Yeah, it's very much building on the success we've had, but you're always wanting to improve and bring new things in, and that process is a year-round process.
absolutely. And I always thought it's rather like, yeah, when we're in the sort of the bunker area, it's Countryside Live. When we're in the sort of pavilion, it's all very sweet. I can't believe it's we've been covering this for 10 years, like Bill, but 12 years of Countryside Live. Here's the next 120, then.
Well, yes, I think we've I think it was the 154th Great Yorkshire Show. But although it's great to have that tradition, you can't rest on your laurels. You've got to develop and build on these things. And so, you know, that's our aim, is to each year to entertain the public and improve and encourage them to return.
So, Nigel and us are about to actually go on the usual promenade of audio stuff, etc. But Nigel, we were talking about the legend that is BC, and lo, he has appeared, has he not?
Indeed he has.
Always great. And I say, finally managed to get a photograph of both of you together in the same piece, which is always wonderful. Bill Carling, good to see you as ever.
It's good to be here and good to see you.
So, the 12th Countryside Live, as I was saying to Nigel, I can't believe that, you know, the last decade's shot by so quickly. From your own perspective, a success story all the way, really.
Yeah, I think Countryside Live particular has developed into a really decent family show now. It grew from smallish beginnings as more of a fat stock show, really, and now it's a great family day out.
Bill, your particular favourites, any highlights over those years as you cast your mind back over the last decade? I mean, sort of moments where you thought, well, that was a good event, or I wish I'd never done that.
I think with Countryside Live, it's been a developing picture. With the Great Yorkshire Show, of course, there's been ups and downs, but you can't go past the Great Yorkshire Show. I can't go past in my own mind, you know, the Queen coming to see us in Harrogate.
Yeah, I think obviously I'm to see you good self, Bill, quite clearly. That's why you're Lord Lieutenant.
I'm not a Lord Lieutenant, well, I'm we'll a Deputy Lieutenant.
Yeah, well, we'll work on that one, obviously. We'll get that sorted through. I know that a couple of my colleagues who you spoke to telephonically devastated they couldn't actually get up today to actually meet up with your good self. But in terms of the show itself, certainly speaking to the exhibitors, the energy, the buzz is you know, it's tangible. I mean, it's really great. I mean, it's a bit of a bleak day. We'd say it was dreek in Scotland, but the magic of the exhibitors, from the bikers, from the sheep show people, from the rare breeds, from the birds of prey, it's magical.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it, that people come and they all enjoy. They're doing their own section. That, to them, that's the most important part of the show, which is absolutely as it should be. And there's huge enthusiasm and enjoyment. People wouldn't come to events like this and exhibit, whether they be competitive exhibits or exhibits that we have to entertain the visitor. They wouldn't come if they didn't enjoy doing it.
It's been a privilege to work with you, obviously, wearing your kind of celebrity reporting hat when you've been down at the Lincolnshire Show, of course, and various other areas. When you've gone around the country seeing other shows, it must always give you a secret sense of satisfaction to know that ultimately the Yorkshire Agricultural Showground and the Yorkshire Agricultural Society pretty much gets it right 99% of the time.
Yeah, we're trying to get it right, obviously. I mean, you've mentioned Lincolnshire Show, which is a super show. I was there this summer and I really enjoyed it. And they're still an agricultural show. Some of the others have gone down a slightly different route, and I think that's a mistake. The ones who do it stick to the agricultural content, and Lincoln's one, Cornwall's another, Norfolk's another, do it really well. And I think people enjoy going, and that serves the agricultural industry better than the glorified car boot sale.
I know Lou Bevan would endorse that particular word. When we first met, Bill, I seem to recall you were in the beef area and you were wearing one of those wonderful bowler hats. And I was confused at the time because I thought, what on earth are you wearing a bowler hat for? Surely it's nothing to do with the city at this particular stage. But you've actually really covered most roles, not only as being a professional farmer, but obviously from beef cattle right the way to the administrative side of things. And it's fair to say you're still maintaining that farming link as well.
Oh, yes, I'm still part of the family farm at home. I don't do so much farming now. Two sons and a daughter-in-law doing most of the farming, but I do still like to have an interest in it and see what, watch what's going on and make a comment when it's appropriate.
It's fascinating to find that next year, not only is it the Chinese Year of the Sheep, but also, I gather, this year for Countryside Live, the Young Farmers Association have decided to actually go in for sheep racing. Is there a sheep theme beginning to emerge within the Yorkshire Agricultural Society?
Well, it certainly sounds like it, does it? I think, to be fair, the sheep racing will probably be not quite a commercial activity. hopefully entertaining for our visitor.
It's fair to say Richard Savory, when I mentioned it to him, wasn't sure whether it would be genuine real sheep or whether we have young farmers dressed as sheep. I don't know if you can shed any light on that particular area.
My understanding is that there will be some real sheep involved.
Well, there we are. That's fantastic. Bill, obviously we look ahead to 2015. You're still going to be very much part of the whole sort of system as far as that's concerned. Any particular thoughts as we sort of begin to say farewell to obviously 10 years as show director of Countryside Live?
2015 Countryside Live is to be limited, my input into it. As far as the Great Yorkshire is concerned, we're about halfway through the section meetings now. Every section, whether it be pigeons and rabbits or cattle and horses, every section has a meeting, and we discuss what went right, what went wrong, and how we can improve things. About halfway through those for the 2015 show, they'll be finished before Christmas, and then we'll start putting that show together.
And it's all good. You'll be able to hear in the background from obviously the buzz of excitement. I know you're off to be interviewed by some of our other colleagues. You've got a very busy day and schedule today. Bill, as ever, a general delight and privilege, and we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future.
Thank you very much, Alex. Nice to see you.
Well, the one thing about the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness is that you actually often need to actually have some way of fortifying the inner self. And we're actually about to speak to a fine gentleman who's wearing a fine sheep-oriented tie, and your name is?
Howard Nicholson.
Howard, I suspect that you're connected with Howie Nichols, purveyors of artisan, multi-award-winning adult beverages.
Yes, that's right. My name is actually Howie, and my name's Nicholson, so it's hardly much of a twist.
There you go. Now, you've got a whole range of things here, which, tragically, as somebody who's virtually teetotal because of my driving side of things, I won't be able to participate in, and neither have we actually got any assistance to actually try either. But you've got some fascinating names here. Sheep dip, which obviously isn't real sheep dip.
Now, sheep dip dates back over 150 years when farmers used to have illicit stills on their farms and used to hide the illegal liquid in vats and used to label them as sheep dip, so they used to keep out of the eyes of the praying taxman.
It's outrageous. I didn't think such sort of shenanigans actually existed this side of the Atlantic. I thought we'd left that to our Chicago cousins. But the range of other things that we've actually got here, is it a case of obviously working primarily on gin, or are you talking about whiskey? I mean, just talk about your products here.
Basically, the business is based on two basic products, the whiskey and the gin. But as gin has developed, it's quite a micro booming business at the moment. So there's a big trend towards fruit-flavoured gins, of which we're one of the leaders of making novel and award-winning gins.
In terms of time for preparation, I mean, clearly, obviously, you can't put a timetable on genius, but roughly how long does it actually take to actually develop a flavour here?
Well, the elderflower gin, which won 3 gold stars in the Great Taste Awards last year, took 5 years in developing, working with Heriot Watt University. It's one thing making one batch, but it's then making it commercially on a repeat basis that's the difficult thing.
Absolutely. And again, as we said, is this the sort of thing which basically can act as a nice winter warmer, or is it for any time of the year?
It's very, very flexible, very versatile. It's often used, you know, on shooting and hunting days, but also in summer makes excellent cocktails.
Makes perfect sense. Do you have a web address, Howie, that people can find you if they're listening to this and they haven't been able to get to Countryside Live?
Yeah, it's www.spencefieldspirit.com.
I can see that obviously folk are beginning to sort of gather to actually sort of avail themselves of this whole thing, so I'll let you go now. Once again, fantastic touching base with your good self. See you again very soon, no doubt.
Thank you very much.
You know, they've actually sorted out the sight lines and, of course, the smell lines here so perfectly, because right next door to Howie Nichols, of course, we have the scent of glorious, glorious pork pies and a whole range of things, steak pies, all sorts of things. And we're talking now to
David Kitson from Farmhouse Direct.
Farmhouse Direct presumably is exactly what it says on the actual label. It delivers fantastic food directly from the farmhouse.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're farmers, we're butchers, we're bakers. We do it all on the farm.
So the samples you've actually got here today, everything the whole family would actually need for ideal winter warmers and autumnal days, really. Just talk us through some of the things you brought along to the show.
We've got a various range of products from handmade pork pies with various toppings on, as well as plain pork pies, and some nice homemade quiches from our free-range eggs, steak pies using the beef from our fold of pedigree Highland cattle, some nice sausage rolls.
it's just everything for the non-vegetarian to actually delve into. But presumably you have a vegetarian option as well.
We have got one vegetarian option, which is a vegetarian quiche.
Well, there you go. Now, I know that some of my colleagues who had hoped to be here today would be very envious of the range of stuff they've actually got here. Show like today, is it a kind of way in which, obviously, you're sort of not only selling products, but also sort of raising awareness of the brand itself?
Yeah, of course. Every time we go out, it's not only about the sales that we make on the day, it's about raising, as you said, the brand.
It's award-winning farmers, so we've got a whole range of things for that for you. In terms of your base in Bransby, looking at the whole sort of system there, is this sort of something which has kind of added to the diversification, or you know, how has the business progressed over the years?
That's entirely what it was, a diversification in the essence. We started during the foot and mouth, or in fact just slightly before the foot
just
and mouth.
Just like Countryside Live then?
A little bit, yeah. Due to pressures under farming at the time, it was either do something different or get out of farming, basically, and this is what we did, and we've never looked back.
Absolutely. David, it's been a genuine pleasure touching base with your good self. Will you be around at some of the other events in Yorkshire as we move indoors in terms of the thing? I mean, will you be doing some of the crafts for Christmas things, or will we be seeing you effectively next year at the Great Yorkshire Show?
Well, of course, we're always at the Great Yorkshire Show, but we will be here for the Rural Crafts Fair, we'll be in Harrogate for the Country Living Fair. So, yeah, we'll be around at a few fairs yet.
Brilliant. We must sort of we must do a year in the life, actually, of Farmhouse Direct. You know, we put that together. It would be quite interesting.
It'd be a busy programme.
Proving that there's a certain mystical fact when we're covering these shows, whether we're actually covering the Burley International Horse Trials or Bramham or indeed Badminton or indeed where we are today, which is, of course, the 12th Countryside Live event. I say there's a sort of sense of magic because we've just connected with a fabulous soul originally from Gisborough, whose name is?
Kev Trigg.
And Kev, you have got a cornucopia of delights here in the main hall. Just describe the kind of setup that you've actually got here.
Well, it's mainly handmade ceramics and glass pieces. I actually do stained glass, leaded glass, in my shop gallery at Knaresborough, but we don't like to bring too much glass along, but it's a good mix of handmade.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, the quality of stuff that we got here, from butterflies, from sort of wonderful sort of holders and craft things, etc., it really kind of carries with it almost a Beatrix Potter sort of tale, a kind of a hark back to wonderful, nostalgic British countrysides.
Yeah, well, it's very sort of countryside themed to time and what we're doing today, so that's why a lot of it is butterflies, flowers, wildlife figures, a lot of hares, that kind of thing, birds.
Ideal, not just stocking fillers, but actually sort of ideal gifts for folk across the base, I would have thought, in terms of this whole system. And I do like, in a sense, there's one here which we've got camembert, that's sort of a package that we've actually got here. Just talk us through how you make one of these things, I mean, from the point of view of the design of bottles and so on.
The bottles are flattened in a kiln, melted in a kiln overnight, and then bound with various stainless steel knives, olive forks, and the tie-in with the cheese and wine flavour of pottery that we do, from garlic pots, oil drizzlers, camembert pots, and the tea light holders, all with the mouse designs on. And right across the board, through steel sculptures and even carved wooden sculptures.
Now, to me, this is art. This is what the Turner Prize should all be about, as opposed to like, the Tate Modern and all the rest of its pieces. Was this a passion that you've always had in terms of designing areas and working with materials like this? No, you're shaking your head.
Now, I'm going to give you the wrong answer there, because I was actually a steelworker for 30 years up at British Steel. I ended up coming down here.
Quality begins here.
And doing stained glass courses, and that's where it all kicked off and got dragged into the whole arts and crafts thing. And the theme here is always handmade, unique things, limited edition where possible. The sort of things you don't see in the normal high street shops.
Absolutely, and again, you know, people have actually said that it shows like this that effectively are the place to come if you want difference, if you don't want mass-produced stuff and so on and so forth. But is there a web address? So people are listening to this and they're catching it online. Can people access you via the internet?
We only have business pages via Facebook. We've kept away from the website thing because that would have been tied in with e-commerce and selling on the internet. We don't think the sort of things we do we can sell on the internet.
So where can folk actually find you? I mean, in terms of the shows that you're actually going to be attending, will it be the Crafts for Christmas setups and all the other bits and pieces?
Well, this is the last one now for this year, because we have two shops. One's in Knaresborough and one is in Chapel Allerton, North Leeds.
Well, then I think we need to sort of say we possibly manage to arrange a visit to one of those shops in the not-too-distant future and actually sort of do a location report. Would you be up for that?
That sounds fantastic. This is a sort of flavour of what you do in the shops, really.
Genuine outstanding, and a fantastic privilege to touch base with you. I can see that obviously customers are already lining up. Many thanks for the moment.
Thank you very much. That's great, yeah.
Okay, now obviously one of the great things about the Countryside Live event is you have all sorts of exhibitors and indeed prospective sponsors. We've just been stopped by a fine gentleman who's going to talk about guide dogs for the blind. That would be Martin Flanagan. Martin, share with us what you're doing here at Countryside Live.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Martin. I'm representing our charity, Guide Dogs for the Blind. And what we're trying to do today is raise awareness and support for the charity if we can. So we're running a little campaign. People may have seen this on television. It's actually been going for 12 years. It's actually called Sponsor a Puppy. As a charity, we've actually been going for 87 years now, and we train puppies from approximately six weeks old to about 24 months and train them as guide dogs. We get no funding for any of this, and without fail as a charity we train between 800 and 900 dogs a year. Now, to train one puppy to be a guide dog over 24 months time scale is actually £28,000 per puppy. To keep that as a working guide dog, which is when it retires, which is between the ages of 8 to 10 years old, is actually £50,000 per dog. Now, the charity is completely non-funded, so what we're asking people to do today at the Country Live Show is sponsor a puppy. We have two little puppies on my little laminate paper here, Dasher and Angel. They're just starting the training, and we're asking people to support us by sponsoring a puppy, which is basically £1.98 a week. It starts in 6 weeks' time. It's equivalent to £8.50 per calendar month, and what that does, it gets somebody their first ever guide dog. So that's what we're here for, a charity, is raise awareness and raise support and ask people to sponsor a guide dog puppy.
And it's such a vital part, as you actually said, in terms of obviously people helping folk who are visually impaired to actually sort of work through the whole thing. You cannot put a price. I mean, I know you cited some of the figures it costs to actually train a guide dog for the blind, but actually the service they provide is priceless.
That's correct. These animals are life-changing. We've actually got 690 people in the UK actually waiting for their first guide dog, and it's a well-known fact, but people may not be aware, that one person every hour in the UK goes blind, so these numbers never actually come down for us. So we're always out here, we're always asking people help, and it's vital that we ask to get people as many sponsors as we can.
People will be listening to this up and down the country and in various other parts of the world as well. How do people, if they are listening to this and they say, oh, I'd like to get involved with sponsoring a dog for Guide Dogs for the Blind, what's the online site?
The online site is www.sponsorapuppy.org, and people go online and find that there. But also people like me and my colleague Aaron here today, we actually do kind of take the show on the road, as it were, and you'll find us in town centres, in supermarkets. So please help as much as you can.
You've heard it there from Martin, from Guide Dogs for the Blind. Sponsor a puppy makes perfect sense. Martin, many thanks indeed, and all the very best to you.
Thank you so much.